red, the very stuff of life, and symbol of so much more. It is the more to which Jesus points, the more that fills the space we hardly notice is there, the more that fills the hunger we didn't know we possessed, the more that brings sense to all that we don't understand, the more that brings completion to all that is unfinished. For that more is beyond us, just out of reach. We constantly strive and yearn for it, while God waits patiently for us to awaken and see that in Christ we find the bread of life freely offered that we might be filled. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all this morning. The order of service contains quite a few different intimations, just maybe to mention one or two of them. Just to say that next Saturday morning, the Big Brew Coffee Morning along at the Kirk Centre, it's partly celebrating the 40 years of the Tradecraft family. We know, as we talked before Christmas, about the difficulties that Tradecraft were facing with trading. And so one way we can continue to support them is to raise funds for their Tradecraft Exchange programme. And so there's an opportunity to do that as we have a coffee morning next Saturday morning. Everyone absolutely welcome to that. Something that's not in the order of service that begins this week, we're reinstating the hymns sing. We sing through the hymns for the following Sunday on a Thursday evening. So if anybody would like to join members of the choir to help learn some of the hymns in preparation for a Sunday morning, they're going to meet at 7 o'clock along in the hub on a Thursday evening. And the choir were so keen to get started that they decided we'll just go for it this coming Thursday. So you'd be very welcome, any of you who like to sing, who'd want to come along and be part of that. So please enjoy that. The children are going to be learning all about rice today, I believe. Is that right, Carol? They're going to be learning all about rice. And next week, you're going to come and tell folks here about it a little bit. Is that the plan? Maybe? Maybe, we don't know. Okay, we don't know. Maybe we'll. Anyway, when you go through to the hall after church today and next Sunday, you'll notice the Tradecraft stall has an extension that is selling nothing but rice. And we're setting a challenge to sell 90 bags of rice. And the bags of rice, if we can sell 90 of them, will pay for a year's education for a child elsewhere in the world. So I think that'd be a wonderful challenge. There's more than 90 of us here, and there's only 90 bags of rice. So I think between now and next week, we might be able to get most of it gone. That would be a really good thing if we could do that. So anyway, the children are going to be learning all about that challenge in JAM today, and maybe come and tell us a little bit about it next week. We're here this morning to worship God. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant. Lord, may our minds be open to you, may our hearts be open to you, that we might be your people, Lord, and you our God. I will be merciful, says the Lord. Lord, in thankfulness we will approach you, lifting our voices in praise, that we would remain faithful to you. Feed us, Lord, with your living bread. Let us worship God. Our hymn is 606, Lord, you sometimes speak in wonders.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful line, that one, isn't it? Make our lives display his name. Something for us all to think about. Let's come to God in prayer. Lord of heaven and earth, we are taught that humanity does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. There we have it. We need the food of the earth for our physical bodies. We need the word of your love spoken into our lives and received in spirit that we might thrive. Thank you for bringing us food from the earth, some easily obtained, some varied in choice, some providing a delicacy that tickles taste buds. We thank you for this gift of creation that is abundant and a thrill for the senses. Thank you for the spiritual food that satisfies our need for more, for the living bread that allows for relationship and true fulfillment, for personal faith, living and breathing, that provides sheer joy for so many. Yet, merciful God, we come to recognize that many are hungry in our world. Some struggle to obtain physical food. Some know food only as necessity, never luxury, through poor harvests, through lack of spending power, because of our other nations and people hoard the good things of the earth and fail to make an equal sharing. Some struggle to obtain spiritual food. For some, it is not easy to find faith. The circumstances of life are so hard that people cannot find reason to believe. Chances for a relationship with the living bread is withheld because of the institutional church and its complicated and flexible ways. Sometimes people of faith are not good at sharing with those yet to find faith. In your mercy, forgive us for any part we play in the creation of inequality, in the provision of food across the world, and for the part we play in withholding the opportunity from people who seek to discover the living word. As forgiven people, may we do better. And hear us as we pray Jesus' own words given to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Who here likes bread? Who's already eaten bread this morning? Who's likely to eat more bread later on today? Yeah, we rely on bread for so much. It's a staple of our diet. It's something most of us eat each day. And I've brought with me a basket of bread. Lots of different, do you like, oh, Sarah's getting quite excited at this. Lots of different kinds of bread, because one of the things about bread is that to different people in different parts of the world, bread looks very different. What kind of bread do you like best? What would you normally have? What kind of bread? So mum and dad make her eat brown bread, but you would usually choose white bread. Okay. That's okay. I think that's a good question. Who's for brown bread? Oh, okay. Who's for white bread? Oh, maybe. I think the brown bread, or just edging it slightly there. I think the brown bread slightly edged it. Yes. Certainly it's meant to be more healthy, isn't it? Because it's got all the rough bits in it that, yeah. Anyway, I've brought lots of different breads in here, and I wonder if you can maybe help me work out where in the world you might find these breads. So, we've got this one here. We'll start with something fairly simple. Where do you think you might buy a bread that looks a bit like this?
Here.
Here? It's a bun, isn't it? It's a softy, a bap. What other words can we use to describe it? We can call them all kinds of things, don't we? So that's that one. Right, okay. Now, what about this one here?
Oh,
what do you think it's called?
Well,
It's flatbread. Now, where in the world might people eat flatbread? Do you know? Different countries, but tend to be kind of heading over into the Eastern Mediterranean, into the Middle East kind of area, flatbread. I like flatbread with hummus. That's a really nice lunch to have, isn't it? Right. What else have we got here? What about this? Do you know what this is?
Bagel.
And I'll let you into a secret. I had a bagel for my breakfast with some cream cheese on it, because I like a bagel with cream cheese. That's what I had for my breakfast this morning. So a bagel. And where do you think bagels come from? Which country would you associate? Or maybe actually one particular place with bagels, I think it comes to mind. New York. Did somebody just say New York? Yeah, New York Bagel Company. Other brands are available. Yes, bagels, a very staple of the Jewish community within New York. Right, what about this one here? What kind of, where do you think we might find? It's a wrap, it's a tear wrap, but where do you think? Mexico, yes. And I quite like Tex-Mex food, so we eat quite a lot of these in our house. Not often just as a sandwich, but maybe as a fajita, or an enchilada, or a quesadilla. Did you have one for lunch yesterday? Right, okay, let's move on. What about this one here? What's this? Where do you think that comes from? I think you're all getting hungry, aren't you? Where do you think this one's from? India. Yeah, because it's a naan bread, isn't it? And it's often served with Indian food, isn't it? I like this. This is one of my favourite. Right, now, let's see. What else have I got? This is maybe a little trick one, because I thought these were really dinky. Do you know what that? Who knows what this is? A butt tray? Okay. Who's going to say it's a butt tray? Who thinks it's a rowie? We're going to talk about this later, actually, so we'll leave it there. We'll leave the rowie versus butchie debate for now. But anyway, these are mini ones. I saw these in Asda yesterday, and I thought, you can have a butchie without feeling too guilty about it. Anyway, little butchies. And then here we've got some just crusty bread.
Yummy.
Yum, yum. I had some of this for my lunch yesterday with cheese spread on it. Oh, I eat far too much bread. I really do eat far too much bread. Anyway, lots of different breads looking very, very different, but in different parts of the world, part of their diet, just as we have bread as part of our diet. Now, in church this morning, we're going to be thinking about Jesus. And in the Bible, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. It's a funny thing to call yourself, isn't it? Sarah's not convinced about being called the bread of life. And we're going to be thinking about what that means. And I think one of the simplest ways to describe it is that, as we said in our opening words this morning and my opening little poem thing, that bread, the bread of life, Jesus, fills those gaps, fills us up in a very different way to bread that we might eat and provides it. But we're going to think a bit more about that later on while you're thinking about rice. Yeah. Well, and we'll see you all through in the hall after church, ready to buy some of your rice. You've got to be good salespeople. Good salespeople. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to sing our song together, and it's on the sheet that's inside your order of service, and it's Bring It All to Me.
Bring it all to me. The reading this morning comes from John chapter 6, starting at verse 26. This can be found on page 124 of the Pew Bible. John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus answered, "I am telling you the truth. You are looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you understood my miracles. Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has put his mark of approval on him." So they asked him, "What can we do in order to do what God wants us to do?" Jesus answered, "What God wants you to do is to believe in the one he sent." They replied, "What miracle will you perform so that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, just as the scripture says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." "I'm telling you the truth," Jesus said. "What Moses gave you was not the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread that God gives is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they asked, "give us this bread always." "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty. Now I told you that you have seen me, but will not believe. Everyone whom my Father gives me will come to me. I will never turn anyone away who comes to me, because I have come down from heaven, but to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And it is the will of him who sent me that I should not lose any of those he has given me, but I should raise them all to life on the last day. For what my Father wants is that all who see the Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them to life on the last day." The people started grumbling about him, saying, because he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." So they said, "This man is Jesus, son of Joseph, isn't he? We know his father and mother. How then does he now say he came down from heaven?" Jesus answered, "Stop grumbling among yourselves. People cannot come to me unless the Father who sent them draws them to me, and I will raise them to life on the last day. The prophets wrote, 'Everyone will be taught by God. Anyone who hears the Father and learns from him comes to me.' This does not mean anyone has seen the Father. He who is from God is the only one who has seen the Father. I am telling you the truth. He who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. But the bread that comes from heaven is of such a kind that whoever eats it will not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you will live forever. The bread that I will give you is my flesh, which I give so that the world may live." This started an angry argument among them. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "I am telling you the truth. If you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in yourselves. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them to life on the last day. For my flesh is the real food, my blood is the real drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me, and I live in them. The living Father sent me, and because of him I also live. In the same way, whoever eats me will live because of me. This then is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not the bread that your ancestors ate, but then later died. Those who eat this bread will live forever. Jesus said this as he taught in the synagogue in Capernaum.
Give Evelyn just a little break before she continues the reading as we sing together the hymn 133, Sovereign and Source and Sovereign, Rock and Cloud.
Continuing from verse 60, the words of eternal life. Many of his followers heard this and said, "This teaching is too hard. Who can listen to it?" Without being told, Jesus knew that they were grumbling about this. So he said to them, "Does this make you want to give up? Suppose then that you should see the Son of Man go back up to the place where he was before. What gives life is God's Spirit. Human power is of no use at all. The words I have spoken to you bring God's life-giving spirit. Yet some of you do not believe." Jesus knew from the very beginning who were the ones that would not believe and which ones would betray him. And he added, "This is the very reason I told you that no people can come to me unless the Father makes it possible for them to do so." Because of this, many of Jesus' followers turned back and would not go with him anymore. So he asked the 12 disciples, "And you, would you also like to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. And now we believe and know that you are the Holy One who has come from God." Jesus replied, "I chose the 12 of you, didn't I? Yet one of you is a devil." He was talking about Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. For Judas, even though he was one of the 12 disciples, was going to betray him. Thanks be to God for his reading of the word.
And thank you, Evelyn, for that reading of quite a long passage, but one I hope we'll start to make some sense of. Our scripture reading today is like a condensed version of the Bible. If you had to choose one passage that said most of what you needed to know about God, then this could be it. It has the manna from heaven. It has Jesus, Son of God. It has the Holy Spirit. It is a pointer to death and resurrection, to eternal life. It's all there in just 46 verses. This is a mighty text. The use of bread, the staple of most diets by Jesus, is deliberate because it points back to the time of Moses and it points forward to the Last Supper. I said earlier that I like bread. I love bread. Maybe a bit too much, as my waistline can testify to. I love brown bread, white bread, crusty bread, flat bread, bagels, cheesy bread, pita bread, and I consider myself a connoisseur of the buttery and rowy. In my humble opinion, the best butteries and rowies come from the Strathyla Bakery in Keith. And yes, they do rowies and butteries. Therefore, quashing the debate about what to call this northeast delicacy. Their rowies are deliciously crispy and their butteries are a divine squishiness. They also do a buttery bap, which makes a great sandwich. Anybody else salivating at the thought? Bread is a staple diet of the diet across the world. Wherever you go in the world, you will find bread. It may not look the same as we saw earlier or taste the same, but you will still find something that's called bread. Whenever we do our supermarket shop, inevitably we'll head at one point to the bread aisle where we can find a huge variety to choose from. My personal preference for an everyday bread for my morning toast is something oaty, but I'm not adverse to Warburton's, other brands available, White's Thick Sliced Toasty, something I think Sarah and I would agree on. Most of us have somewhere in our house to store bread. Maybe it's a bread bin made of metal or wood. Or maybe you have a bread crock. But do any of you have a bread drawer? I only discovered the existence of such a thing this week when reading in preparation for this sermon. The article I was reading had a photograph of a kitchen drawer with a cover for storing bread. It was a thing of beauty. Why have I not known about a bread drawer before? Bread, a staple in our lives. Jesus, in today's rather long reading from John's Gospel, we hear him give that first I am statement. I am the bread of life, he tells those gathered around him. Last week we heard of the host knocking at his neighbour's door looking for bread. Well, today we have the role, Jesus taking on that role of being the bread. Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people who have just tracked him down after he'd taken himself off after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And the disciples had also just witnessed Jesus walk on water. And Jesus addresses the crowd with these words, I'm telling you the truth. You're looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted. Not because you understood my miracles. Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has put his mark of approval on him. So they asked him, what can we do in order to do what God wants us to do? And Jesus answered, what God wants you to do is believe in the one he has sent. Jesus seems irked that the people have come after him, looking for more bread, perhaps. He'd ensured they were fed yesterday. Were they expecting him to do it all over again? Instead, Jesus wants to give them food that lasts, food that won't go bad, not an endless buffet of fresh bread to feed their bodies. He is offering them himself as the spiritual food that will feed their souls. The crowd demand a sign in order that they might believe, as if the picnic the previous day and the walking on water wasn't enough. God gave their ancestors manna. What was Jesus going to do? I think they're pushing their luck. But Jesus is patient. What Moses gave the Israelites in the desert was not the bread of heaven. God gives the real bread of heaven. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them, and he goes on with a sermonette about being God's son. The crowds start grumbling. How can the son of Joseph and Mary be the son of God? And so Jesus tries again. Don't bicker among yourselves over me. You're not in charge here. The Father who sent me is in charge. He draws people to me. That's the only way you'll ever come. Only then do I do my work, putting people together, setting them on their feet, ready for the end. This is what the prophets meant when they wrote, and then they will all be personally taught by God. Anyone who has spent any time at all listening to the Father, really listening and therefore learning, comes to me to be taught personally, to see it with his own eyes, hear it with his own ears from me, since I have it firsthand from the Father. No one has seen the Father except the one who has his being alongside the Father, and you can see me. I'm telling you the most solemn and sober truth now. Whoever believes in me has real life, eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna bread in the desert and died. But now here is the bread that truly comes down out of heaven. Anyone eating this bread will not die ever. I am the bread, living bread. And who comes down out of heaven? Anyone who eats this bread will live and forever. The bread that I present to the world so that it can eat and live is myself, the flesh and blood self. That was from Eugene Peterson's The Message. I wonder if Jesus was deliberately trying to confuse his listeners. I am the bread of life and you are to eat me. And if you do, you get eternal life. It's clear that many of those in the synagogue where he was teaching are finding this all difficult to understand. And there are more grumbles. But Jesus isn't finished yet. He pushes on with his teaching. Next up, we have the Holy Spirit. And we read in our Bible, does this make you want to give up? Suppose then that you should see the Son of Man go back up to the place where he was before. What gives life is God's Spirit. Human power is of no use at all. The words I've spoken to you bring God's life-giving Spirit, yet some of you do not believe. Jesus knew from the very beginning who were the ones that would not believe and which ones would betray him. And he added, this is the very reason I told you that no people can come to me unless the Father makes it possible for them to do so. And with that, many of Jesus' followers left. It was all too much. Had Jesus been trying to confuse people, or was this a test? The crowd had come looking for him, perhaps looking for a repeat of the previous day's events, and they didn't get what they expected. No more bread, but instead some hard words. Only the true believers remained. Perhaps he was separating the wheat from the chaff. Certainly, the 12 disciples had stayed, even after Jesus gives them an out. And you, would you also like to leave? That question stuck out to me. I'd never noticed before that Jesus offered his disciples the chance to go. And you, would you like to leave? Simon Peter goes to the top of the class when he answers for them all with an A-stark answer. Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. And now we believe and know you are the Holy One who comes from God. But Jesus isn't finished yet. I chose the 12 of you, didn't I? Yet one of you is a devil. He was talking about Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. For Judas, even though he was one of the 12 disciples, was going to betray him. Oh, Jesus, you didn't make it easy for them, did you? So what are we to make of all of this? Now, many of us here will have been on diets, are currently on diets. most to lose weight, some to gain, some to fit around some health requirements, and some because you've chosen a diet out of some principle. Those of us who have been on diets to lose weight know that the best results don't come from crash diets, but by playing the long game, slowly but surely. It takes longer, but the results will last longer. Sadly, the best diet for losing weight for me personally is also the diet that has a limited amount of bread in it. No room for a crispy rowie from Keith. Far too many sins in that one. And some of you will understand the pun hidden in there. Jesus, in offering himself as the bread of life, is also offering a way of life, a diet. You could even call it rather cheesily the Jesus diet. A life of making healthy choices with guaranteed results, with our very own personal trainer helping us, guiding us, and getting us ready for the long game, for eternity. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty." Oh, that every diet offered that promise. One of my favourite sermon writers, as you may have realised, is Edward Marquardt. He just has a lovely way with words, and in his sermon on this passage, he wrote this: "When we absorb Christ into our daily lives, we take in the mind and heart of God, who loves all people as God's children. That is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means to have the Spirit of Jesus living inside you. It means to have the heart and mind of God living inside you. Jesus is the bread of life, and whoever eats of Christ will never hunger again. When we eat and absorb Jesus' words, Spirit, and love into our lives, Jesus lives in us, and we never die." Isn't that wonderful? Edward really is very good with words. And he goes on to say, Jesus is never just bread. Jesus is always the bread of life. As we consume physical bread, it gives us nourishment and energy for our physical lives. As we consume Jesus into our lives, his indwelling presence becomes a source for compassionate energy within our lives. He becomes the nourishment and energy for our spiritual, emotional, and moral lives. And so when we pray the words of the Lord's Prayer together, and we let the words trip off our tongues, give us this day our daily bread, there isn't there a prayer not just for ourselves, but for everyone to be fed. Fed with food for our bodies, and fed with food for our souls. As we sit here in church, Jam are getting ready to open their stall through in the hall, selling rice that will help educate a child that might otherwise not have been given the chance. By buying a bag or two of rice, you are sharing your Jesus-filled hearts with a neighbour far away. Someone for whom a Warburton's, other brands available, thick-sliced toasty might not be the form of bread that they are used to, but for whom Jesus, the bread of life, is the same Jesus, the bread of life, that we recognise. For some of our brothers and sisters in the world, their daily prayer for bread is just that, a basic want for a basic food. The world today seems short on love too. Too many people starved of love, and it's often those without bread that feel unloved by the rest of us. Surely there is enough of both to go round. Jesus, the bread of life, came for all of us. Verse 33 of our reading, "For the bread that God gives is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." To the world, not just a select few. Oh, for a world where all recognize the delicious taste of bread on their lips and the fullness of a life with Jesus, the living bread. Amen. We continue to worship God, this time in our offering. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for everything we have. Thank you for being present in our world and in our personal lives. You are the living bread, and you satisfy us with your goodness and love. Take from us what we offer, monetary gifts for the ongoing life of your church and its mission in the world, gifts of time and talent for the extension of your kingdom through the commitments we make to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We stand to sing hymn 461, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Turn again to God in prayer, this time with our prayers for others. Let us pray. Lord of both ancient people and today's people, we believe that you are the provider of bread, food and material possessions, comforts and opportunities, security and spiritual sustenance. Today we pray that we might find contentment and know a deep happiness in the life you make possible. And we pray for the people of our world who lack what so many of us take for granted. Across the world, many people are hungry. Many are poor, many are homeless. In the nations where warfare and tribal tensions exist, many are scared and many are victims of unthinkable violence. In our society, and where the gap between rich and poor continues to grow, we recognize that those with less are the ones with the greatest challenge to find adequate healthcare, community support, and a high standard of education. In our towns and villages, many are lonely, and many are struggling with anxiety and doubt. Many endure health scares and tensions within their families. Lord of all, may you seek out those who need a taste of the living bread. May your provision of love create peace in the world. May your justice right the wrongs of our world and society. May your spirit of goodness give comfort to all who struggle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is that great Welsh anthem, 167, Guide Me, O Thy Great Jehovah. Jesus challenges us. Jesus motivates us. Jesus questions us. Jesus enthuses us. Jesus empowers us. And Jesus sustains us. And he sends us out sated with the living bread that we might serve him and the kingdom of God. We are one with Jesus. We're enlivened by the Spirit. We are God's children and we are blessed. Now and always.